गीता 13.6 महाभूतान्यहंकारो बुद्धिरव्यक्तमेव च इन्द्रियाणि दशैकं च पञ्चचेन्द्रियगोचरः। Krishna is answering Arjuna's question about Kshetra and Kshetrajna, specifically about Kshetra. And he says that the Kshetra is made up of certain elements. Which are those elements? Which are those components? He talks about them. And he lists, as per the standard Sankhya mode of analysis, 24 components. He states that Mahabhutani refers to the huge elements, the great elements, the gigantic elements. They are Bhumirapo Nalo Vayu Kama, what Krishna talked about in 7.4 earlier. Earth, water, fire, air and ether. So when we look at the material world and we try to analyze it into its components, we will see these fundamental elements. Yeah, and we can see, okay, things are made of earth, there is water, there is fire, like that. Tani Ahankaro. Krishna lists this in a sequence that reflects the poetic meter, and he says Ahankar. Ahankar is arrogance, or it is the element of ego. So as you discussed earlier, the Ahankar can refer to the object as well as it can refer to the concept. So there is a subtle element which is by the name of Ahankar, and there is a concept which is associated with that subtle element. So in some places when Krishna uses the word Ahankar, he refers to the concept, the feeling that is there, the attitude that is there within us as Ahankar. In other places, he refers to Ahankar as the element. So here when Krishna is analyzing material existence into its components, he is clearly referring to Ahankar here as an element. Mahabhutani Ahankaro Buddhir Avyaktameva Cha. Buddhi refers to the intelligence. Intelligence is one of the subtle elements, and it is what enables us to discern. If we consider functionality of all these elements, the gross elements, the sthula sharira, as it is called, the gross body, so this, the gross elements correspondingly, they comprise the material world, especially the first four elements. They comprise the visible or perceivable by the senses material world. And then Ahankara, the ego, acts as the connecting link between matter and spirit. It is the ego that forms the bond between the soul and the body. And the functional connection between the two, between the soul and the body, that is further done through the buddhi and mana. So the buddhi, intelligence, is the discerning capacity, the capacity that enables us to understand who is who, to understand what needs to be done in our life for us to progress. Of course, what needs to be done for progressing will depend on our conception of progress. As Krishna has talked earlier in 2.16 about Yanisha Sarabhutanam Tasyam Jagrati Sanyami Yasyam Jagrati Bhutani Sanisha Pashitomunehe. He said that materialists consider one thing as progressive and spiritualists consider the quite a different thing as progressive, often an opposite thing. So, but intelligence is what we use for making plans and execute and creating a template for executing them and then executing them. Avyakta is the unmanifest. So these elements which Krishna is listing, We can analyze them as they function within the body, or we can analyze them as they exist or unfold during the process of creation. This process is described in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and there it is stated that avyakta, the unmanifest material nature, the unmanifest substratum of material nature from which everything gets manifested. So it's also called usually as pradhan. And the important point is that Krishna says that from the substratum everything manifests, and that avyakta, that he analyzes, categorizes as one of the components of the kshetra. Indriyani dashaikam cha. And now this is Krishna efficiently listing 11 elements in two words, indriya dashaikam cha. So dasha eka, that is 10 plus 1, that is 11. That refers to the five knowledge acquiring senses, the jnana indriyas, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, and the skin. And the five karma indriyas, voice, speech, we could say, hands, legs, and the excretory organ and the reproductive organ, which also doubles as one of the excretory organs. So here Krishna lists 11 elements. These are also, if we consider the bodily apparatus which we function in this world, functioning is usually a matter of interacting. Wherever we are working, we take in our environment and then we give out, do something in that environment. So in the Jnanendriya, we eat the Karmendriya. And there are many places where the mind is classified as one of the indriyas. So in fact, that is very consistent. Indriyanam manaschasmi, Krishna says. In the 10th chapter, when he's talking about Vibhuti Yoga, he says, the mind is among the senses, he is manifested as the mind. That means the mind is the most forceful among the senses, and by seeing its force we can remember him. Now later on also he will, in the 15th chapter 7th verse, he will say manah shashthani indriyani, the mind along with the senses, shashthani indriyani. And so six senses. There he refers to the five knowledge acquiring senses and then the mind. So usually when this word senses are used as a shorthand, we have to see the context. Quite often they refer to the jnana indriyas. The karma indriyas also are also indriyas, but we have to see whether they are what is being referred to. So shashti indriya, when it is there, then it is the jnana indriyas and the mind. I mean, the shaikam indriya, the shaikam cha, here the jnana indriyas, karma indriyas, and the mind. The mind is like the integration center for the senses, the various sensory inputs, the various data, the information that comes in from the various senses. It is integrated, and it is integrated in the mind, and there, after being integrated in the mind, it is presented to the soul for perception and response, for evaluation response, of course. And after that, once a response is chosen, the mind is the means by which the decision is conveyed to the senses so that it can be executed. And in that sense, this integration function of the mind can be understood through the example of the reins, which are what is compared to the mind in the chariot body metaphor, which is often used in the Upanishads for referring to the chariot body metaphor, for explaining the functionality of explaining how the body functions. So, soul, mind, body mechanism functions. Moving on. Panchachendriya gochara. And then there is Indriya gochara. So, that which towards the senses go, that is the sense objects. So, there is form, there is taste, there is smell, is sound, and there is the tactile, there is a touch, there is the object which we touch. So, sense objects, it's interesting that we could see the sense objects are comprised of earth, water, fire, air, ether. Yes, that is true. But then the sense objects are classified as distinct also because these attributes are integrated with the sense objects in particular way so that the sense objects have an allure. So this Sankhya mode of analysis is often quite intricate, and the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita is not to give a exhaustive explanation, it is simply to give a concise summary so that Arjuna's question is answered in brief. So thus Krishna lists out the 24 elements. Mahabhutani Ahankaro, that's 5 plus 1, 6. Buddhir Avyaktamevacha, that is 7 and 8. Indriyani Dashaikamcha, that is 11, that is 19. And then Panchachendriya Gocharaha, 5 more, that makes it 24. Thank you.